Hey, Spitwads, we have a very special Spit Hits episode today. It's for you, and it's coming right now. We're living without caffeine, or at least we're talking about it on today's show, and we're trading good food for extra years, the classic dilemma. And then we deep dive into the differences between several very similar words. We close it all down with a special draft that I'm going to keep you in suspense about. Enjoy!
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
What?
What?
There are no words there, Mike. It's just feeling.
Yeah, it was so soft and so gentle.
I'm bringing it was a
little sultry.
To a
new time, to a new podcast. We're changing things up here at the Spitballers. Welcome. Welcome in today.
Are we a cool jazz radio station?
Yeah, cool jazz.
For the next hour, no commercials. Welcome into the Spitballers episode 181. Would you rather? That's a great question. And we are drafting the worst things to find in a pinata. So I want you to prepare yourself for the draft because you need to step into that birthday party mindset. Everyone's taking a swing. Probably some kids around, and finally the big kid gets up with the bat and he takes a swing, and it finally breaks open
and
then this pops out. So I think it's going to be a funny one. You can find the show on Twitter at SpitballersPod, SpitballersPod.com. If you want to help support the show, you can go over there, find out how you can do that as an official Spitwad supporter of the show. Appreciate all of your reviews. We read them. Well, I can't read, but Al reads them.
Oh, no.
To me. He reads them to me.
Like bedtime stories. Because a lot of people don't know this. Al tucks us in usually around 9:45, but that's like our nightly routine. Read a verse, read a review, hugs, kisses, prayers. And Al usually does a great job reading those reviews. So keep them coming. Thank you.
And we do have a triple bunk bed, to be clear. Like this is one of the few houses that has them, but we have a triple bunk.
And I'm on top, so death could come to the other two guys.
Mike's in the middle. Why
would
I want to be on the bottom?
That is, you just put yourself in the death trap zone.
Yeah, but he's in the middle of the sandwich.
Well, that makes him the sandwich.
Do you want to die slow?
Sandwiches are named after the middle. We always talk about that, like when we're talking about this thing at the end and that thing at the end. We call it a sandwich. That's not a sandwich. A sandwich is what's in the middle.
It's a ham sandwich.
It's a wheat sandwich. Yeah, the white bread sandwich.
I'm going to stick with the bottom because I think I die instantly and Mike dies slowly in the middle.
True.
So
you're squashed, he suffocates.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I'm just fine.
I actually did. That happened to me as a kid. I pushed up on the bottom of the bunk bed with my brother on top, and the entire bottom just fell straight down.
What?
And he rolled off.
Did it come like the legs on the side actually came up and disconnected? Is that what happened?
It was like the bottom that was holding it was almost like a piece of
cardboard,
thin wood. Yeah, and it was like you could lift a side, and it wasn't wide enough to stay in there.
Oh,
It just turned sideways, and he came rolling out, and I was stuck underneath.
Tumble.
Yeah, yeah. It was scary. All right. Actually, we were mostly afraid our parents were going to get mad at us for goofing around.
Of course.
With the bed. Let's do some Would You Rather.
Would you rather?
Andrea from Twitter writes in to the show and says, would you rather live till 75 and be able to eat anything you want? That means fast food, diet, all the time if you want to. Jason's eyes just opened wide.
Stop the question. Stop. Just stop. Stop.
I never thought I'd hit 75.
Have a kajillion dollars, and I'll take the other one. All right, what's the other option here, Andy?
Live to be 85, but you need to eat healthy, like salads every day. So you get 10 extra years of life.
Worst 10 extra years of life. Well, I mean, look, I hope that all the 75-year-olds listening, look, I'm not talking about you. You've got a great life. But I feel like most people would say that the 75 to 85 isn't their prime of their life. This isn't the most enjoyable time.
Does that mean that you are saying that you would be do the 75?
Heck yeah, dude. I would. I mean, it's really a philosophical question of like, and this is too broad for this question isn't really this broad, but it's like, would you rather live an awesome 75 years or a bad 85 years?
That's all related to fast food.
There's good salads.
There are good salads. There are very good salads. And those salads would not count, I think, to the spirit of what is being talked about here. Because there's a 1,200 calorie salad with some grilled chicken and some ranch. And heck yeah. But I, you know, the reality is I need to change my relationship with food.
Oh, no. Mike, what do you say here?
Well, first off, now I'm just delighted thinking of 75-year-olds listening to this podcast. Like, imagine our actual prime demo is people 75 and up.
That's right.
I mean, that would be, you know, so that idea is tickling me here. But 75, I think that gap is not wide enough to make this a real debate for me. I'll go out at 75. That's fine.
Or if it's 100.
No, I think you have to move the number earlier. So it's like it's 65.
No, let's do
or 85.
Well, 75 and 100. That's 25 years just to eat fast food.
Yeah,
a spoiler alert, guys.
But when you're 98, what are you? You're the wind tips you over. You bump into the wall, and your entire body is bruised.
Here's the that begs a whole nother world of questions of just like. That's almost like, forget the fast food. Do you want to live to 90 or 100? Because you're almost saying you'd rather be dead.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But,
that is what I'm saying.
Would you rather die at 75 or 150?
Oh, man. So here's the spoiler alert. Andrea from Twitter is me. Because I actually asked this question, and I was playing with the gap. I was driving. We were going up north to the cabin, and I was in the car with my dad and my son, and we brought this question up. And I was trying to figure out what the year gap was to make you choose health. We were in the middle of eating Wendy's, by the way, when this question came up.
Very nice.
Delicious.
Yeah, and it was. It was delicious. I felt awful later. And so I thought maybe 10 years was enough. You know, because you think about it, Jason. Let me just try to tug on the heartstrings.
All right. You've got children. All right, we'll listen honestly.
You've got children. They're going to have children. Then you get to spend 10 more years. Imagine. At 75, one of your grandkids is 5 years old. So the difference of living to 85 is that grandkid is 15 years old. You spend a life with the grandkid. You don't just get 5 years.
Yeah, but you know this is not a hypothetical. This is just the world we're living in. I have children, and I will live longer
right now? If
I eat healthier. Like, yeah, that's like it's sad, but it's true. This is reality. It's not a hypothetical. It's like I'm gonna die younger and I eat poor. Yes, should I change? Sure, but this isn't like. Well, which one would you take? It's which one are you taking? And I have already been taking the eating.
I've made my choice.
I mean, I hope I change.
This is real life.
This is just
would you
real
rather
life.
Real life. What are you doing?
I certainly hope that, you know, by like 50, I start making the changes. There's a lot of people, you know, you go through one heart attack and then you get your act together. So
that's
kind of the route. I just want to get past that first. Survival is really important. I'm really worried about the first. After that, I think I'll go full health. Maybe, probably not. Maybe a little while.
You're banking on the wake-up call heart attack.
I just got to really survive that one. And then those grandchildren. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And the worst thing is my grandfather had a wake-up call heart attack, and he quit smoking and quit all the bad food right when it happened.
It happens.
Triple bypass.
I have seen these pillars of examples in my life. You know, cut it up till you're 55 and then get healthy and live to.
What about the people that don't make it past the first, though?
Oh, man. Okay. So
that's the gamble.
Yeah. That's bad. That one's, you know.
Jason's final words. I really thought I'd make it past the one.
Yeah. Splat. That's the scary part. That's what really should be the wake-up call now. Someone help me.
Mike and I should convince you to do something to fabricate a heart attack for you. Make you think that you're having one.
Smart.
Probably need to bribe a doctor to come in and tell you this is serious.
I don't think that's going to work because then Jason will go, oh, this is nothing. Exactly. This is a heart attack?
Oh, no.
Mike knows me. I need the scare. I've heard it feels like an elephant stepping on your chest. That's like what I've heard a heart attack feels like. I need that experience.
If
I don't
doesn't
want
live
that
up
experience.
To that, it's not going to stop you.
Yeah, if it was like a real hurt, like, ow, that really hurts, and then I was fine, I'd be like, dude, I can do 30 of these.
Oh, my God.
I'm also guessing an elephant stepping on your chest is that you don't make it through the one.
That's true. There's never a wake-up call elephant step.
Like to compare a heart attack to an elephant stepping on you, that's disrespectful to the elephant.
There's a little baby elephant will crush you. A baby elephant will absolutely crush you.
Oh, my gosh. I did not expect this question to go that direction.
So what were the answers then? Because I would imagine the closer you are to 75.
Oh, the more you choose the salad?
Yeah. So like your dad and your answers may have been different. And then the youngest is like, I can't die. I'm the youngest one.
Right. I started the question at 1 year. Lived 80 or 81, but it was just you can eat fast food all the time or you can live, you know, not eat it all the time. But
now, can I eat it without the diarrhea?
Unfortunately, no, that is impossible. Not possible.
Okay,
this isn't magic, Mike. This is
the
just...
diarrhea is supposed to be the wake up call. That was the original plan. That's how they built it.
I had a wake up call last night at 3 a.m.
Oh, man, food can blind us, can it not? Because it tastes so good.
It tastes so good. Someone needs to do something about delicious food and get rid of delicious food.
It really, really has to do in part with how easy you can get it. There's just not... If you're driving someplace and you want some food, your only choice in America is to eat a bad something. Right? I mean, that's
mostly,
really...
Yes, mostly, yes.
I know of one, like Salad and Go is one place I know that... Not like there's...
It's eating neutral. That's like eating neutral.
You can get like a thing at plenty of places that maybe isn't that bad. But that's like the... You don't go to Jack in the Box for the garden salad. And so it's like every place has something you can get. But for the most part, there's only one healthy drive-thru I even know of.
Mike, you going with the 75?
Yeah, 75. Yeah.
All right. I mean, like presently
move it
you're
to,
going with
move
that.
It to 55, and I would choose the other way.
Okay, so that's a good question to figure out is where the threshold is. Andy Scott from Patreon says, "Would you rather rid the world of Christmas cards or thank you cards?"
Mm.
So I can say something interesting about this because Christmas just went by.
Why not both?
I almost like early in our marriage with the kids, I did the Christmas card thing. You know, you get the picture. Mm-hmm. I have a list of people. Mm-hmm. Go to the website, get them all printed, sent. Did it for a while. Just stop.
Yeah,
just randomly,
good for you.
Just
good
random,
for you.
Tried that out.
Just tried it out. Did, you know, life got busy. Forgot it 1 year, and that was enough. So we haven't done it.
And what happened? What happened to your life?
Actually, something did happen.
Oh, yes. No.
And that's why I bring it up. Is... Because I set a precedent, and this is a piece of advice for everybody out there. There were people on this list that received my card 5, 6, 7 years in a row. Everybody since then has now thought that I don't like them and they're off the list, including, I think, Al Borland.
We did just have this conversation like a week ago.
You did. You actually took him off the list. I remember you telling me about that one. But on the others.
But I have a lot of people that have been like, oh, you know, they're making jokes. They're like, hey, I'm like, hey, I got your card, thank you. And they go, oh, yeah, I didn't get yours. Mm. So now I don't know what, is it because I had sent them?
Wait, you're supposed to say thank you when someone sends you the Christmas card?
No, you don't have to, but you can be a nice person, Mike. You know this is possible for other people.
Yeah, other people can do that.
You can be like, thanks for the card. I hope you're doing well. Like, friendly stuff.
I actually think one of these two things should go away, and one of these two things is valuable. I hate doing family pictures, doing family photos, There's just nothing. There's very little worse than gathering up a whole day. You've got outfits that have been planned for weeks. You've got family members that maybe you haven't been around. Just, oh, what a nightmare to get these pictures. I hate that. And that's why I don't like Christmas cards, because usually you got to have a big old photo shoot.
Right.
Garbage. But Christmas cards are great. Like I hate getting them. I hate making them and like getting them done. But they are actually really cool. I like seeing, like, when I receive a Christmas card of a family that I haven't seen in a while. Oh, they moved to Wisconsin, and I get a picture. I get to see them. I like that.
I agree.
I think that it is kind of cool. I don't want to do it, but I want to receive it.
Yeah.
Thank you cards serve a horrible purpose. They are
obligatory
nonsense that nobody. When I get a thank you card, like I just got it, I'm not going to say who or for what, but I just received one. This person wrote a thank you card for something right. They received. They wrote it out by hand and said, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. Made us.
That's pretty nice. That's a lot of effort.
Yes. Dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I'm reading this thing like. Okay. It was in response to a very small Starbucks gift card.
Okay.
This person is not that thankful. This person is not like, oh my gosh, where are my cards? I have to. This is just an obligation. This is a waste of that person's time. I didn't even need a verbal thank you for this card, and you're doing this for. You just wrote 50 of them. You're wasting ink
for a wedding. Was it a wedding?
It wasn't a wedding. No.
Wedding is the number one obligatory. Yeah.
I like to think that Jason went to a wedding and gave him a very small Starbucks.
That's why I wanted to know.
No, it was a teacher gift. So the teacher's getting a 100 gifts, and she's writing all these
teachers
cards.
Teachers like
back.
To write things,
and
yeah.
It's just like,
was this in spite of like to make you feel bad that you gave such a crappy gift? Like they wanted to emphasize. Thank you so much for the $5 Starbucks gift card. I can't imagine what I would have done had you not given me I can't even cover the cost of one coffee.
It was like a $25 gift card, which it gets you like two trips. it was fine. My point is more like I just think it's a waste of time, and whenever I receive one, it doesn't change any. I do not for one second think this person is grateful because they wrote me this card. No.
But they are grateful. And that's why they
knew.
Wrote
no,
you the,
no.
They wrote
they
you
have
the
a
card.
Habit. They have a habit of I write these things and they would because here's what I know. If I gave them anything, if I did an apple, I would have got that card. I would have got that card that said, "Thank you so much for the apple. I can't wait to take a juicy bite out of it. Thanks, teacher." That's what would happen. So they're wasting their time. We're wasting the trees.
What if we set a new rule? Can I set a new rule?
All right.
Any time that you would ever have to write more than one singular thank you card event, we wipe them out.
Yes.
But if it's and so we reserve them for times when you'd have to go pursue a thank you card because you're so overwhelmed, you got to thank a person. Because it's one person.
That's the whole point, is that thank you cards are worthless. They're meaningless because they aren't ever used the way you described.
Yeah.
It's not like, I can't believe the thoughtfulness of this person. I have to go write something. If that's what it was, if it was like, I really need to write this person and thank them, then that's heartfelt. That's moving. That's amazing. That's not what thank you cards are. Thank you cards are obligation nonsense that is just saying, I'm supposed to do this.
And you know every other parent got one.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm surprised it didn't say dear parent.
Now, curmudgeon, Mike.
I'm the complete opposite of this.
What's your thought on all of this?
I want to banish both of them, but I can only do one of them. And so it's Christmas cards. Get out of here. Like I understand back in 1989 when there was no internet. Like maybe I want to know how a family's doing, and this is the only time I ever hear from them. If you want to know what's going on with my family and my life, it's online. Like, there's my Facebook account, my wife's Facebook account, Instagram, Twitter. Like, everything is available. So I feel like at this point that if I'm sending you a Christmas card, I'm saying, I am so important.
Look
at
me.
You need to see my family, and you need to know how beautiful we are, and look at our perfect family in this perfect winter scenario. So get that out of here. A thank you card is actually doing something. It's saying, I thank you for thinking of me, instead of, I want you to think about me. You need to know what's going on with my family.
I have so many aunts or grandparents or what, who they're not on. So they're not on the gram.
Yes, they
are. They're not checked. Yes. Well, I'm not on Facebook. So
is your wife on Facebook?
Maybe. I don't know. I literally don't log on. I don't check. So my point is, like, for people like myself that really don't keep up with other families on social media, then it serves a purpose.
Yeah, but you're because the information is there, you are saying, I just don't care. So you don't need the card. Make it all just go away.
All
make
right,
it all
Andy,
go away.
You got to be the tiebreaker. I'm getting rid of stupid, pointless thank you cards.
No,
Mike's
all I'm thinking about
Christmas
is how to
cards.
Send Mike like one Christmas card a day for all of December. Yes. That's all I'm thinking of right now.
Oh, yes. Please do. Please do. You're just, I mean, I could save you a step. You could just take money and throw it in the garbage.
No, I will make you put my money in the garbage. No,
oh, it's real easy.
I will say some Christmas cards have come.
Mike never opens one single one.
If you get the Christmas card from the far away half friend, and then it's the story of our life, and it's have you gotten those?
I can't stand those.
That's the see you now. Those are the that's what Mike's getting at is like it's like. All right, Isabel has been doing tumbling and just did a triple Lutz, and then Franklin is playing his flute in the highest order. And
those are
the
look at me. That's what Mike.
That's
dude.
The,
I'm
that's
on
Mike's
board
a,
there. Get rid of
and
the,
that's
those.
That's what social media's for.
But when I got a, when I got a card from Al Borland and his family, it was a family picture, something that I hadn't seen, and it just said Merry Christmas and. And we just put it on the fridge, and then it made me think about my friends.
Yes, that's how Christmas cards are supposed to be. Put it this way. Who doesn't like getting a postcard? Like, if I went somewhere cool and I send a post, you're just going through your
junk.
So,
word limit. Word limit,
Mike.
Come on.
Postcards?
No, people don't send postcards. But if you were going through all your junk mail, and you're like, oh, there's a postcard. Jason went to, this lighthouse and whatever. Like, that's neat.
I think there are valid points on both sides. I think Mike is right. There is a bit of an antiquated aspect to it because we don't need to lean. It's like writing a letter right now. You could say it's very nice and nostalgic to get a handwritten letter. But you don't have to do it, you know?
But like the postcard, I get like someone
goes. You
can
also call someone and say, hey, thanks for that gift. And that might be more personal than the letter,
right.
The thank you card.
But you keep those postcards because those are like a token of that person, of the trip. And for some reason, you're invested in that trip. What do you do with all the Christmas cards? You keep every single one? Those things going right in the garbage.
I display them all until Christmas is over, and then I recycle them, Mike. I would never throw them in the garbage. How dare you?
Well, the people who are telling you that they're recycling, they put them in the garbage.
Right, right. That is actually true.
All right. Hey, we got to move on. Would you rather go 30 days without caffeine of any kind, this is from Pan the Man on Twitter, 30 days without caffeine of any kind, or restaurant food of any kind? I mean, this is one I can do, one I can't do. I can't
one
do the no caffeine.
Do no caffeine.
No, I'll break down. I got my routines, brother.
No restaurant food means you are preparing every single meal
fine.
You eat.
Yeah, cereal's delicious.
Wow. One of these I can do, one of these I can't. Yeah, and I'm the exact opposite. Like, having no restaurant food for a month is impossible. This day and age when, the whole global pandemic thing that created delivery services, I mean, whoo-ha, that is the best way to cook. And if you're telling me that not once, not a breakfast, not a lunch, not a dinner, not for the whole month can I swing by a place, go to a place, order from a place, I mean, I don't remember that life, and I don't want to remember that life.
Interesting.
I've done the life of no caffeine, where it was like I've gotten to points where my anxiety is so out of control. It's like
from the caffeine.
Because I deal with anxiety, and it's like caffeine can make it worse. And
yes.
So like I've had periods of my life where you go without it. it's tough sledding for the first week, 2 weeks or so, but eventually you get used to life without it.
So half of the entire time period here, you would be uncomfortable.
Versus all.
Yes.
Versus all with the restaurant. Yes. It's funny. Don't you both normally drink some caffeine in the afternoons too? You probably have more dependency than I do.
We certainly have more dependency than you. You've got a couple cups of coffee in the morning, and then that's pretty much it. You don't do afternoon.
You load up in the morning.
I will say this. My anxiety is the absolute worst after the third cup. Don't talk to me. I'm impatient. Everything is so serious at that time. I joke, you see me on Twitter, on our Slack channel.
Yes.
Getting work done. But there's byproducts that it's just, I'm buzzing. Like, I can't drink it anymore.
Now, here's what I'm curious about. You drink a lot of coffee in the morning. You said you're a personal routine. Three cups every morning. No more, no less. And you use half calf because you drink three cups. You don't want to go crazy. I wonder what would happen if you replaced your half-calf coffee with decaf coffee.
Sure.
And you had your three cups and you had the routine and you felt like you were doing the same thing. How much is real and how much is, you know, the
placebo effect?
Yeah, the placebo.
Of drinking the coffee?
Mm-hmm. You drink that coffee, you're going to feel that buzz still?
Yeah, I don't know. I used to not do half-calf. But then my eye would twitch constantly. It would just be like, your body is like, no. Nope,
that seems bad.
That seems bad. Let's go half calf. Yeah, it would be tough. It'd be tough to lose that routine, but I bet, you know, could you do tea in the morning? I guess that's caffeine too.
Yeah, so. You can't have tea, can't have chocolate, can't have.
Yeah.
That's all I know that has caffeine.
Yeah, right. Let's
can't
move
do
on.
Caffeine pills.
Right, thank you.
That's a great question.
David from the website wants to know the difference. In fact, all of our great questions today are what are the difference questions. What's the difference between being robbed, mugged, and burgled? And I feel like I need to lean on you guys for this one because
I know it. I have my answer. Yes.
Robbed, mugged, and burgled.
All three of these involve a perpetrator taking something, some sort of physical object from you. But the way I look at this is if you are robbed, that means you were not harmed. That means someone said, stick them up, give me your wallet, and you're just like, okay, here, take my wallet, take my watch. If you are mugged,
they punch you?
They have attacked you. They don't even give you the option to just give you the stuff. It's they're attacking.
They're jumping you and stealing.
Yes, yes.
And the burglary, is that your house only?
A burgled means you have no idea that it happened.
Oh, really? See, I thought it meant you had to
and
have
the person
pearls.
had a mask and a sack.
Yeah, I think burgled is far more about the specifics. You have
really?
Yeah, I mean, if there's not a pearl necklace, you know, or a black and white outfit on the assailant.
Yeah, saying they have the outfit on.
That's not a.
If you were burglarized. Someone steals stuff out of your garage. Are you burglarized?
Well, you've been robbed. Well, wait, were they wearing black and white stripes?
You're not there. You left the garage open.
Yeah, and so someone robbed me blind. Oh my gosh, all my TV's gone. And then you go check the camera, and you see that they found your family jewels, and they were wearing black and white striped clothing. And you say,
that's a robbery.
I was burgled.
So if they were just rocking some jorts, that's a robbery?
Jorts cannot burgle.
See, robberies, burgling is robberies had to have a person. I thought that's what Mike said.
I think they do.
So obviously, you can't be mugged when you're not there, right?
Correct.
You have to be a part of your own mugging.
Yes.
Yes. You have to be there to be mugged and be robbed. Now, you can be there when you are burgled because you just don't know about
it. You could be sleeping.
You could be asleep. You could be pickpocketed.
Oh, that's a burglary?
That's, to me, is a burglary, yes. My definition of I didn't know it was gone until I start patting down and I go, it's gone.
Now, can we
well,
be
that's because
here?
Of the tiptoe. You have to tiptoe if you're burglaring.
But that sounds like ting, 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 ting.
Exactly.
Ting.
You know, little.
Why is
little
tiptoeing so loud when it's made to be quiet?
Steel-toed boots. So let me ask you.
Why do I have this xylophone in my shoes?
Is burgled a real verb for what's happening to you?
Has to be.
Can I'm you burgled? Be burgled?
Yeah. I've been burgled.
Yeah.
That's real.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when you've experienced being
Because I
got
to call the cops and say something to them. I can't
I've
call them and
burgled.
Be like, I've been burgled, officer.
It's such a funny word.
Okay,
and then he goes, wait, were you hit? No, you were mugged.
Past tense, burgled, past participle, burgled. So that is
literally.
Okay,
it's good. We're good to go?
Yes.
It's just a weird
burgled.
Word.
You've been. Okay. I've been burgled by a guy in black and white stripes who tiptoed off with my family jewels.
Yeah, and he's got a sack over his shoulder. Or,
yeah, where else is he going to put it?
Okay. All right, I accept that. Darth Chopsticks from Patreon. What's the difference between vintage, retro, and antique?
Okay. So, a lot of this is about age, first of all.
Is it?
Antiques are like... You know, when something is retro, what that means is it's coming back in style from something that was gone. When something is antique, it means you are an old person.
Yes, so antique is like
it's the shopper.
It could be valuable, but it's also just no one wants. It's not cool.
Yeah,
but
vintage
is cool or retro is cool.
Vintage
is cooler than retro.
They're both definitely cool. I think Jason is right though. That like wait.
Like, let's
retro
say you're
is your styling descriptor.
Yeah, but
something
let's say you're 65.
Retro.
If you're 65 and you're doing something retro, it is now antique.
You're saying it's based on the person?
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's a limit.
Or you're an antique if you're 65.
Yeah, you're antiquing. Like, if you were like, oh, I'm going to wear this thing from the 30s, that's still an antique. It's not just shops.
No. Antique is something put on display.
Yes.
It's because it's old.
Right, and it's usually ugly.
Does it have to carry value? Does an antique...
Yes. It can just be personal value, though. It doesn't have to be monetary.
But you don't use it. As something that's vintage, you can use. A vintage car, you can use it. You don't use an antique car. You put it on display.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
So this is display versus use.
And retro is something new in a old style.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what it is.
The authenticity of the age. If
yes.
I have a vintage T-shirt, that means that this was made by the band 30
it
years
really
ago.
It really was made
if
back
it's then. Retro, it's the old band, but it's been reprinted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
We got it.
You know what's crazy is like, you know, we I have middle schoolers right now, and they are in... I don't know if you both have caught on to this.
I'm still here.
Andy's camera has gone.
I'm not a cat.
Black. I'm still here.
Wait, is Andy being burgled?
He might be burgled right now.
So we're keeping this part of the video for those most of you are listening, but obviously we're being recorded and on YouTube, and my camera's gone, but my audio is fine.
You've never looked better.
We're just gonna go.
Oh, yeah. We gotta go. Now, I will eventually... My battery... The quote that what came up on the screen is battery exhausted.
Oh, it's like your battery's really tired?
It's worn out.
It's been in a healthy run, and it did a good job, but man, it needs Gatorade.
Real quick nap, and this battery's going to be back at it.
Now, I did provide you a power adapter for that camera.
Which is completely plugged in. It's completely plugged in, and for whatever reason...
I find that doubtful.
Switch your input. And just have a
or is this? Are you in a? Are you in a an outlet that's on a switch?
Nope.
Are you sure? Is it one of the upside down outlets?
We may have tried to record two shows today, and look, this is not important for everybody.
Okay.
All right,
we're
Let's
moving
proceed.
On. Proceed.
I'll figure this out. Don't worry about it. I'll come back at some point visually. You guys can just interact with my voice.
I've
got to
tell you, there is it. It shouldn't be weird.
Is it super weird?
But having Jason there and I can see him talking and then you're just a completely black screen but your voice is there is very strange.
It's off-putting. It's a little off-putting. I feel like it's just me and Mike
you
here.
You should be off-putting.
Where did that come from?
Is that the Galifianakis?
Yeah, it was. All right.
Oh,
hey,
man.
I think we knocked that one out of the park. Do we got time for one more, Al, or do you want to draft?
We got nothing but time.
I need to get my battery charged. What is the difference between a stadium, an arena, and a coliseum? Ricky from Patreon wants to know because there are sports stadiums out there now, arenas, and coliseums. Mm-hmm. I feel like coliseums They don't name new ones Coliseums anymore.
Nope. Coliseums are ancient. Coliseums are...
There's the call. Isn't like the USC Stadium the Coliseum?
Yeah, but how? When was that built?
That is.
That's got to be 100 years old. I mean,
I don't know.
I'll
look it up.
I don't think you can have a Coliseum that is under the age of 50. Which means I do think stadiums can turn into coliseums. You know, maybe once this was a stadium, 150 years later, you look back and you say that was a coliseum.
January 5th, 1923 is what I'm seeing.
I guess I'm looking at the Rose Bowl Stadium. Which one are you looking at, Al?
LA Memorial Coliseum.
That's mm-hmm. okay.
1923. So 100 years old.
Nope. It's not there yet.
Well, I said it's got to be longer than 50, and I was just guessing that thing is about 100 years old.
Right.
So it's 99 years old. Coliseums are artifacts, right?
You're not factoring in, like, there has to be combat sports inside of the Coliseum?
Well, there always are. No, that was implied because it was called the Coliseum. If there's not been a combat sport inside...
Stadium and arena are easy, right?
Roof. Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Wait, which one is the roof?
The arena. You can't have an open...
There's never been an open-roofed arena.
Really?
Yes!
Yeah, and I wish this was just part of like a funny joke, but I just think that's legit. That's the actual
You can't have
definition.
An open-air arena?
You can have an arena that has a roof that opens, but no. If it is an open-air... building without a roof, that's not an arena. Impossible.
Except for by definition.
Not my definition.
Right. Not our definition.
And that's what people have come here for. But the
old school, right? The great arenas of old?
Had roofs.
They couldn't, did they?
Yeah. You just said it. You just said the great arenas. So I know that you're talking about a building that has a roof on it.
I think I'm wrong on this one. I'm backing off of my confidence big time.
I am 100% confident. All basketball are played in arenas. You ever seen an open air basketball arena? No.
What if they're all the same? What if all three of these are the exact same?
But then they wouldn't have three names. That would be nothing. Right. They wouldn't call them different things. That would be ridiculous.
That's a good point.
So all basically, right.
this bit would be stupid if they were all the same thing.
Right. And this is informative. No, I really do think that's the difference between all of them. Stadiums graduate into coliseums when they are over the age of 50, and combat sports has been played inside. You put a roof on top, and it's an arena. That's
and we're not talking about amphitheaters here. We're not getting into the world of amphitheaters.
That there's so much that's to a that ha- world,
but that's like a half.
Like they
right?
didn't finish it.
Yeah,
they were working on a full arena.
They ran over the budget, and this is no longer an arena.
Oh, a half.
They were probably working on a stadium, not an arena.
Okay.
Because I don't think they ever had plans for a roof in an amphitheater, but it really is usually a budget issue.
You can't have like lions fight people at an amphitheater.
No, because the lions people just run away.
It'd be distasteful.
They run out the open side.
Cowards. Yeah, you can't have combat sports in an amphitheater.
Also, then the lions are roaming the streets. Well, Andy's camera was back for a
second. And he is gone again. Oh, man. When he came back, too, if you're watching the YouTube, when he came back, it was delightful because you could see him, like, zooming it in,
scrambling.
Yeah.
You didn't let the battery rest.
No, I mean, I didn't. Not long enough. Let's draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
We may have to get to the bottom of this whole power adapter thing here, Al Borland, because it stands to reason that it's not set up correctly. I'm excited about this draft because we are doing the worst things to find in a pinata. Told you that at the beginning of the show. You're at a birthday party in an event. You know, the pinata thing, I don't just... Real quick survey before we begin the draft. Are you pro pinata at a party or anti pinata at a party?
Oh, I'm super pro pinata.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I mean, what would be much better? Like, hey, do you like candy? Yeah. Do you like just beating the tar out of something? Who doesn't? You want to beat the tar out of something and have it poop out candy? Heck yeah, I am in. That's a birthday.
Okay. All right. Jason, you get the first pick. You're a very fortunate fellow because we are drafting the worst things you'd want to find in there. So you, there's a lot of anticipation with the pinata.
Oh yeah, you got to work. You're
you don't know what's in it. I mean, you might know it's candy, but
who's going to be the lucky star that opens that pinata up? You get one or two swings.
Now, are you like the way I think about a pinata? If you open it up, now maybe you're the hero of the party, but is that really? Now there is an upside down Andy picture.
Andy drawing.
Okay.
That's generous to call that Andy.
So let me. So you're the one. You're the kid who opens it up, but you're wearing the blindfold, right? Generally speaking, as soon as the pinata starts dumping the candy out, the rest of the kids all dive in.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
While you're the hero for opening the pinata, are you in fact in the worst position? Because everyone else is getting first dibs on the candy.
No, you're not, because weaklings can't open a pinata. And what ends up happening is they try first. They can't.
You can toss them aside.
You are the okay. Alpha. You open it up, and so you take that blindfold off, and you just stare at them. And they say, can I get you some candy? All
right. So worst things to find in, and Jason, you're first.
All right. Well, the worst thing that I could imagine, I smack this thing open. I'm so excited to see what's in there. And unfortunately, all the candy has been eaten by cockroaches.
Oh.
I'm going to smash this thing open and a bunch of bugs and cockroaches.
Mm.
Not only do they fall to the ground freaking everyone out, but now they're not just sitting there. They're running at everybody. This party has become a massacre, one to avoid. And also now your house has a ton of cockroaches because they breed.
I think that that's a great pick. And I think the big thing here is you've got the explosion factor. You know, when you find something, there's an impact and there's an explosion, and then there are items inside, and you want to be, at least the way I'm drafting, is I want you to be horrified by what you find inside of that. And cockroaches were on my short list. I got to be honest. You made a great
interesting.
Pick.
Interesting. We're looking at this a different way.
Okay. Well, I look, my number one pick here, because it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry to go this direction. But it's razor blades.
Oh.
It's filled with razor blades. That's got to be one of the worst things that you can find inside of a pinata.
Well, what if you're in need of a shave?
Well, look, these
how convenient.
These aren't razors. These aren't like a bunch of Gillette razors coming out. These are the blades, just the blades.
Yeah, but men, there was a time when a man could shave his face with a razor blade.
Are you looking at this through a nice lens? You want this to happen?
No, I'm just trying to spin your pick to be bad.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. So Jason went cockroaches, Andy went razor blades. I'm trying to think of this, like, I guess, from the eyes of a child. And the first thing that came to my mind, what would be the worst thing to find from a pinata if you're at a party, is nothing. Mm-hmm. You bust that pinata open.
Oh, it's just an empty pinata.
Devastating. Nothing comes out. That was it was between cockroaches and nothing.
Really?
For the first pick.
Okay,
because you're right. Like, if, as a kid and as a parent, you realize, like, you just let down all of the kids. You forgot to fill the pinata. Everyone is just heartbroken. All that
work
for
children,
nothing.
You have crying children everywhere. And I guess it's almost the exact same pick, but it's different enough. And I think the idea of this happening is very funny. You bust open the pinata and just a bunch of IOUs fall out.
For candy?
Yes. Yeah. And it's just like IOU.
The Skittles.
Two pieces of IOU, a Hershey Kiss. IOU, a Snickers bar. Because you know you're never cashing that thing in.
So
it's an IOU.
You had to stuff this thing and hand write a bunch of IOUs for candy?
You ran out of candy.
See, now you
had some money. You had some paper. I'm just, these are as good as candy.
That's, yeah, exactly. You might want to hold on to that one.
Yeah. That's
oh
a king size bar.
I'm going to go with hornets. Because,
See, we were thinking about this very differently.
We were. And you made me think about something else with your
hornets
direction.
Is way worse than
the
cockroaches
hornets,
or razor blades.
The hornets is so good because there's probably what? When you go to a party and you watch these kids, how many hits before this thing breaks?
Oh, yes.
Those are the warm-ups.
They are angry. And you know what's terrifying? singular hornet.
Yeah.
just one. Put go to a birthday party and put one hornet on the loose.
It's basically shaking a hive 10, 15 times and breaking it open.
And they, yeah, you know, it's like, that's not a kamikaze bee's going to die when it stings you.
No.
These are hornets.
That's not fair. That's not fair that they get to sting you as much as they want.
No, it's really not.
And they take pleasure, great pleasure in stinging human beings. It's their favorite.
Do you think you've talked to some of these?
Yeah, I speak hornet.
All right, guys. I'm all turning the camera back on.
Oh, let's
see
let's
if I can make it to the end of this draft.
Now it's sideways.
Sideways.
What is happening? How did that happen? You are sideways over Fabio. Wow.
Okay. It's like you just...
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, congratulations on getting back on video, Andy.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay. So am I up?
Yeah, you're up. Back
and
to
I
back.
Have back-to-back picks. Okay. I think, again, I am also coming at this from the standpoint of a kid. You're working hard to get your candy at the birthday party. And lo and behold, you bust that thing open, and a bunch of fruit comes out. We're talking cut up cantaloupe and watermelon.
Whoa. All into the...
melons, all pre-cut. All just
yard?
Right onto the ground, right
you're
into
grabbing
the
it with your hands.
Dirt. You're grabbing this watermelon off the ground, cantaloupe just
like a fruit salad.
A fruit salad just barfed onto the ground. Nobody wants the fruit. Nobody wants fruit off the ground.
Oh my god!
But the parent had a brilliant idea. Oh, you know,
right?
This
is a healthy.
It's
pinata.
A healthy pinata. And also, I don't know if you've ever, you know, smashed fruit with a baseball bat, but it's gonna be extra ripe.
Oh my gosh. All right, that would be a surprise. You've got cockroaches and fruit.
Mm-hmm. And now look, I'm just gonna go with the candy. It's entirely full of good and plenty. There's one candy in there, and it's nonstop good and plenty. So you see the little boxes fall out, and you're excited to grab it, and it's just the most inedible, awful candy.
All
I
good
feel
and
like plenty
are black
nothing.
Licorice, right?
Yes,
that's
they're
all
black
they
licorice.
Are. There's no like the good isn't a good one, and the plenty's the bad one, or something.
No, but it's plenty.
It's just purple and white. Black licorice.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right. So nobody can eat any of the candy.
Well, guys, I'm staying in my lane here. We saw different stories.
An alligator!
No, worst things to find in a pinata, it's blood. It's filled.
Yep.
It's just filled with blood.
Yep, okay.
There'd be a lot of horror. I think I'm traumatizing these children, but there's some adults there that'll be traumatized too.
Certainly. Everyone at the party.
Blood is my final answer.
I think if you found the one person that was not traumatized by that, you have now exposed that person.
You found who put the blood in
for
there?
For being a serial killer. Yes. You figured out who did it.
All right, Mike. You have you open up the pinata. You've got nothing at all inside. And then you've got some candy IOUs. So you're breaking kids' hearts in a way that isn't blood and hornets.
It's a little tough here because I have a couple of picks that are like, similar, they're not the same thing, but they're like the same idea and heart behind it as Jason's last two picks. So that's a little disappointing. But
sorry,
I'll go with whatever. I'm gonna go with one of them because if you cracked open the pinata and it just poured out candy corn,
I knew you were gonna go that way.
Yeah, because candy corn is by far the worst candy. I'll eat good and plenties before I start eating.
Really?
Candy. Yes.
You would
now,
not
why
really
do you hate
eat good
candy
and plenty
corn?
Before candy corn.
Because of the taste. Because
it's not
terrible.
The texture? I mean, you
well,
like
it's all of it.
You like black licorice.
No, so I don't.
That's what I heard.
Don't like good and plenty. But I'll eat it over eating candy corn.
I totally understand you saying that because of the draft. I don't believe for one second that if you were forced to eat a little tiny bowl of good and plenty or a little tiny bowl of candy corn. There's no way you're going black licorice.
I think that's the way I would go. I haven't had either in probably a couple decades. Since the first time I had them, I was like, this is not something I need to change my mind on. Okay, and then trying to figure out something
The last worst thing to find in a piñata.
I don't know why this came to mind, but I was like, well, what is something that, like, it would be silly if it fell out, and it's also just completely useless to you and to everybody, and it's undersized underpants. it's just underwear, and you're like, what? Why is this piñata full of underwear? And then you're trying to think, well, there's a silver lining here. I get some brand new underwear, but no, it's all way too small. You can't even put it on.
So why did that come to mind?
I don't know, but here we are.
Children's underwear on the mind.
You had children's underwear on yours?
On Mike's, not on mine. Oh. I didn't think about children's underwear. Why would I put children's underwear in a piñata?
That is undersized underwear.
Well, undersized is going to be children, right?
That's in contention for the
strangest. Well, for you, undersized is like triple XL.
Oh, now. No, oh. Look, my final pick here, razor blades, hornets, blood. There's something to find that's really bad in a piñata.
Vomit.
This was one of the ones that I thought was pretty terrible. And it's jambalaya. It's filled with jambalaya. It's filled with jambalaya.
Nice.
I don't even know what jambalaya is.
You don't know what jambalaya is? Like, Danny's gone again.
That's one of those things, like, I thought I knew what it was, but now that I'm... Okay, it's...
Wait, what's the difference between jambalaya and gumbo? Because I see those as, like, the same thing.
Yeah, and I know what gumbo is. What is the difference?
Jambalaya, it's ironic you said the vomit thing, because it would present very much like vomit.
Jambalaya would?
Yeah, jambalaya would present. It's like...
Oh, the main difference between these two dishes.
Shrimp and chicken and vegetables, and it's like, you know, it's not a good time.
The main difference is use of rice.
Which one has rice?
Jambalaya. Gumbo is really a super stew that's often served over a little rice, where jambalaya is made with the rice cooked into the dish.
Well, so shoot, can I change to gumbo? Can I change to gumbo?
Sure.
All right. All right, I don't want to steal gumbo from you.
Well, I don't know, Jason, was gumbo on your list?
I was just about to take it, but I guess I'll give it to Andy.
All right. Final pick.
I was trying to think what's something that would be a real problem. A real problem.
That's where my brain was on this thing, by the way. A real problem.
Real, real problem. And
I went with a minor inconvenience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slightly smaller underwear.
Mine is a big problem. Mine's forgot that was in their situation. This was never to be used as a piñata. That thing's full of grandma's ashes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's gone.
No.
She's everywhere at the party. No, oh, I don't know why she wanted to die and go in a piñata.
No.
That's her final wishes. And we used it, and the birthday party's ruined. We're all breathing it in. It's a big, big problem.
That piñata looks a lot like an urn.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Oh,
why
did you
get an urn-shaped piñata?
Oh, my gosh. That is such a that's a fabulous steal of a pick here in this very sophisticated draft. That's a lot of ashes, too. Grandma was...
She's a big
a
lady.
Big lady. You can fill a piñata.
No. Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah, how much?
Like, is there really... you take like an average size adult,
yeah,
and then
I'm googling it,
and then a plus sized adult. Is there really that much of a difference in the ashes?
I feel like either there has to be a large difference in the ashes. It's just proportionate to the amount of matter that you are cooking up, or you're just getting some scooping of ashes from this place that like it.
They're legit. They didn't give you the whole thing.
Well, it doesn't depend
if
you're cremated in like a parka or something.
I mean, what did you learn, Andy?
Well, the average adult will weigh about 4 to 8 pounds worth of ashes. That's all I learned.
Okay.
How many cups of ashes does a person make?
Owl put the answer in. It says that the large portion of the ashes is from the bones, and the body fat is essentially consumed in the cremation process.
Yeah.
So most people will be about the same, except for those big boned people.
It says if a person is 150 pounds, expect to receive about 150 cubic inches of ashes, which is like 10.5 cups of ashes. That's not a lot. That's not a piñata's load. You got to you need some filler.
Yeah, you got to
mix it
in
with something
grandma
else.
And grandpa. You got to get them both.
Oh, no. You got to go both?
Mm-hmm.
See, when you said...
Well, they wanted to be together.
Yeah,
on the ground at a kid's party. when you said it was something you forgot was there that you didn't want exposed, I'll be honest, I thought you were going with drugs. I thought that thing was going to break open and your stash is in there.
Oh, no. And the kids find it. The kids are all running to grab these. What are these little bags?
It's flour.
Is that sugar?
Oh, no. All right. Jason's final picks, cockroaches, fruit, good and plenty, and grandma's ashes. Mine was razor blades, hornets, blood, and gumbo. Mike has nothing, candy IOUs, candy corn, and undersized underwear in the strangest pick that this show has ever had. Do we have any big omissions, Al? Things that you wanted inside of the pinata?
No, I think you got it.
We covered the full gamut.
And I was going to go with salsa, but it was just like, it was the exact same reason of going with the fruit of like, it seems like, oh, well that, I mean, it could be worse. You're like, well, we could put our chips in the salsa, but then it just goes all over the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what motor oil was in contention.
Motor oil?
Yeah. Just skids
over
motor oil.
Everybody as that final swing just
maybe like rotten eggs.
Ooh,
yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Something
bad.
With an odor.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be rotten eggs. Just eggs. Just you're just mashing them up.
Pesticides?
Well, that's. I mean, I can use those for something.
But I guess that part of the ground will be in good shape.
I need it for your hornets.
All right. I think we completed this round.
What did we learn today?
Well, I learned that I need a longer-lasting battery on my camera here. Mm.
Yes. I learned that the hypothetical questions of would you rather live longer and eat healthier is just real life.
Yeah. Mike, did you learn anything?
I was going to say, I learned that the real wake-up call for Jason, it could be too late.
Yeah.
It's all a matter of if I survive that first one. As soon as I started talking about that, I'm now all of a sudden I'm like, paranoid. It's coming any minute. I know it.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah. I got to get prepared. How do you prepare for
How do you prepare for
You put a backpack on. Bag? No, the backpack has a defibrillator in it. I mean, it's common knowledge. All right. Thank you for listening, tuning in, supporting the show. We appreciate you. Back for another Spitballers next week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.